Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Todd Atkins. All right, Todd, not going to spend too much time on the intro because there's a lot to talk about. But as a quick recap, we are in a little mini series called Building Back Better, episode 602 on remote work. 604, we talked about staffing. 606, we talked about team development. And today on episode 608, we are going to be talking about preaching. Now, we're not doing this isn't a seminary course on preaching. I mean, what can you talk about in 15 minutes on that side? No, what we are talking about is all about the intersection between preaching and building back better. Now, during COVID, churches did this in a lot of different ways, right? If some churches who had streams, they streamed their service pre-COVID. Some of them, that was a campus. Others, it was an afterthought. They did it more or less just to, but they didn't count attendance because it was just this afterthought and not much production really went into it. And others didn't do it at all. Well, now that we are coming out of COVID, most churches have been streaming in some sense or fashion. Some have gone all the way to say, no, you know what? Moving forward, our online is going to be a campus. And I've even heard some churches say, no, you know what? Instead of us being a church with campuses, we are an online church with physical campuses, right? And there's so much stuff that has been said. You know, from a logistical standpoint, Beulah always streamed our services online. And you know what? It was the house mix. It wasn't a dedicated online stream mix. But you know what? During COVID, we did an dedicated online stream mix. And actually, our audio engineer won an award for how incredible the sound was for the dedicated online stream. And you know what? Same with us. We have a decision to make. Are we going to, like, what are we going to do with that online stream? We're not advocating, let's go back to the way it used to be for anyone, but how do we build back better, right? How do we build back better in this reality where, you know what, online is here to stay? Todd, there's so much written and so many people, a lot of conjecture, people saying, you know what? No, online has to be the future. And others being like, no, in-person needs to be the future. And, you know, Ed has been talking about from the beginning, this is a temporarily deficient ecclesiology. The fact that we are online exclusively and the majority of our churches online, that is temporarily deficient. That's not the way it's supposed to be. But because of these extreme health measures, we have to do it. But it's temporarily deficient in its ecclesiology. Yet other people are saying, no, this has to be the way of the future. So that's what we want to talk about. And Todd, I know you have lots to say and lots to think. So what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I mean, first of all, we just have to recognize that the reality is, if you go back 30, 40 years, we all know, I've said it 50 times, you know, people used to come two or three times a week, and now they come two or three times a month. That was prior to COVID. So I do think that the average, quote unquote, engaged attendee, that rate of in-person attendance may go down a little bit, even as they do come back. Lifeway Research, when they polled attendees of churches in the U.S., 91% of attendees said they plan to go back. Not all of them are back yet, but they plan to go back in person on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. So all that to say, there will still be people that attend online. There will also be people that supplement church online, meaning they'll go a couple of times a month in person and they'll go a couple times a month online. I mean, a lot of people got really used to sleeping in a little extra or enjoying their time with their family a little extra in the morning and coming over with a cup of coffee and, you know, watching church on their screen, and the kids are coloring in the floor or playing quietly, you know, that was the dream. Now, was that the reality? I'm not really sure.
No. There's a meme. What pastors think their congregation's doing, they're all dressed up on the couch all together watching, and what reality is.
Oh, yeah.
It's not that.
But given that, I would say stuff that we've talked about on the podcast before and you just alluded to, you know, if you've got the ability and the means to, or the volunteer to do a separate mix, it does add a quality element for sure. But a lot of those listening, they don't have extra money laying around, or they may not have the volunteer right now that could make an extra, or the board to put out an extra mix. So that's something that I recognize, you know, we can sit on our high horses and say, oh, you should do this, but we don't have to do it. Like, we don't have to actually pay for it physically, and we don't have to physically see that it's done either. All that to say, there is one thing that I think is really important for pastors to do and learn in this day and age. And I guarantee you there's no seminary teaching it right now, but they should. That is, how do you teach to an online audience? What does that look like for your live audience and your audience who's attending online? So
I think
pastor actually does an incredible job of he has changed his physical mannerisms as he preaches. They're more demonstrative. It's not like over the top where you think he's having a fit or something on stage, or he's suddenly, never mind. Everything that's going through my head would be offensive to some member of our audience. I'm not going to say it, but he doesn't look silly. He's just a little bit more demonstrative in his, you know, speaking habits. So more hand gestures, those hand gestures are a little bit bigger. You know, is more aware of movement. You know, I can't move too far this way or that way, but the space that I'm given, I'm going to definitely utilize it. And remember that the people watching at home, I need that to be able to engage with those people. So that's one of the ways I think preaching has probably changed.
Well, and that's the piece, right? Because I mean, obviously, we're not advocating that you go back to the way it used to be. And more than anything, your website and your social media are the lobby and is going to be continually, I believe, people's first impression for your church. So, I mean, that's just so important to know that people will check. I mean, how often do you go to a restaurant these days without first checking them out on Google, right? Or online, or looking at reviews, unless it's a chain. We're just so used to that these days that I think that is definitely going to stick around. But when it comes to preaching, though, I mean, part of it is, do you preach to the camera or do you preach to people?
No, you preach to people.
Right.
And okay, so again, let's go back to reality. The reality is most people listening to this podcast are not going to have, if they have a camera, great. They're not going to have like three cameras on boxes throughout the, you know, the massive sanctuary and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is you really need to think about what that looks like long term. So if it is, oh, I'm going to have a stationary camera that's mounted on the pole that I wish wasn't there anyway, that's holding up the roof. I'm going to have a stationary shot or two, and then I'm going to have, you know, one guy. Or No, I'm going to have one stationary shot and a guy that is not necessarily mixing anything real time. He's just the one that's making sure it goes out and then he goes and sits down. That's going to be the reality of for a lot of us. Mm-hmm. Still, if you've got a decently tight shot, and you're aware of, hey, here are my boundaries, whether you need to put blue tape down for a while or not, you can do a good job of effectively communicating. Sure, you might look at the camera every now and then, but I think most importantly, it's that your shot's a little tighter. I mean, people are going to realize that church is going on there without them. And, you know, hopefully they feel some, at least, I don't want them to feel guilt. I just want them to feel like they're missing something, you know, by not being.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't want to make it so over the top production wise that, it's, I don't know, a diminishing return, but I am saying, hey, for those people who are at home, you need to up your game. It's not going to take, I'm not asking you to spend a whole lot of time or money on it. Just go ahead and be intentional about it. Man, it all goes back to intention, doesn't it, Daniel? Mm. Be intentional about it, not just let's fire up a camera and go. Think about it a little bit more, set it up a little bit more, and then, you know, don't let it rule your world, but remember it's there and remember that there's real people on the other side of that camera lens.
Yeah, yeah. So let's hear a quick word from our sponsor for today, and then we're going to get back and talk a little bit about how to build momentum toward being more back in person and, yeah, ways to do that. Jesus' final charge to his disciples was to go and make disciples of all nations. And yet many Christians today struggle to understand what this means for them, and many churches find it difficult to equip the saints for the work of ministry. For the past 15 years, our friends at Downline Ministries have partnered with local churches by equipping men and women to know God's word and make disciples in the context of their homes, their churches, and their communities. They do this through the Downline Institute, a 9-month training program where students are taught Genesis to Revelation, biblical manhood, womanhood, and practical discipleship training. So if you long for a greater knowledge of God's word, a clearer vision for making disciples, and a strengthening of biblical discipleship in your church, check out the Downline Institute's in-person and virtual training options. Downline is offering our listeners $100 off of the tuition cost. Just use the code LIFEWAY when you apply at downlineministries.com. Now back to the episode. All right, so when it comes to building back better, right, we know just how important it is to be together with one another, and how it, I mean, yeah, I get that there are people who maybe for one reason or another over this past year and a half, we're just like, you know, I can't, like, it's too dangerous, or I'm, you know, I have other underlying conditions, and there are reasons why it was like, no, I praise the Lord for digital. Yet as we emerge out of COVID, and anyone who wants to get a vaccine, at least in the US and Canada, are able to get a vaccine at this point now, how do we shift our language to our church family to emphasize in person? Or should we? I don't know. What do you think about that? Should we?
Well,
I think we should, but
I think we should, because I don't know that you can really grow apart from the iron sharpening of iron, being in biblical community with one another, for better or for worse. That's just the way it's done.
Yeah. And we're talking about in person, not just on the weekends, like in person, everything, right? Like groups and with one another. And
I will say, at least in the States, one of the most interesting things that happened here was Easter was effectively a vitamin B shot in the arm, you know, that just gave everybody energy. And a lot of people started coming back, you know, right after Easter. It was like, oh, wow, we're back. It's on. We may have a few things that we're still not bringing back or not quite on yet, but for the most part, the meat and potatoes of the Sunday morning feast is back. Now, I will say this. One of the things I think can be really helpful for you is to take a cue from that and say, okay, is there a event of some type? Is there a church picnic? Is there a, you know, what kind of Sunday themed event can I do that gives people a reason to come back other than just another Sunday morning? I mean,
yeah, exactly.
I think tying it to something like that could be the little thing that just, you know, helps people say, oh, I'm going to go there because I'm going to miss out if I'm not there. I want to, you know, be together with the church as they celebrate X or.
Yeah, completely. I couldn't agree with you more. That wasn't necessarily Easter for us because Canada was a little bit behind on the vaccine rollout side of things. But you know, at the time of this recording, this past Sunday, we actually celebrated Keith's. So Keith is the former lead pastor, but we celebrated his 30 years of ministry at Beulah. So when what that was, and it was really interesting because we're continuing to open up and restrictions are continuing to loose and all that, and but this past weekend was a reason for people to be there in person. It was Keith's last weekend. I mean, he's still going to be a part of the church family, but I mean, like this was the celebration weekend. It was, you know, we pulled out all the stops here, you know, left, right, and center, and I couldn't believe how many people, you know, that was their first Sunday back since COVID started. And at the end of the service, after everything was done, I shared, hey, we're starting this new series next week on Philippians. I'm so excited to be back in person. And then I was like, man, isn't this so much better than watching by yourself in your basement? And the cheers and the claps that I got from the congregation being like, yes, it's so much better to be in person, right? I mean, like, how do you give people that taste? So yeah, all through the summer, our plan at Beulah is to essentially have different weekends, different experiences where we're building that sort of momentum to all the way to that week after Labor Day, September. That's going to be our big relaunch. Yeah, and we're going to build a lot of momentum toward that weekend.
Good deal. Well, I mean, I think those are you know, a couple of keys to bringing people back. I mean, the other thing is just checking in on people. We talked about an exercise not too long ago where we looked at stowaways, passengers, pirates, and crew. And if you looked at before COVID and you look now, you would say, oh, well, I had a lot more people that I thought were really crew members that were really passengers, or I thought were passengers. And well, they're either stowaways or they're not around. So by doing that, the intent was to put people in a box. I mean, normally we don't want to put people in a box. In this case, we do because we want to serve them better. So I would say now is a really good time. Both from a church staff and leader level. If you've again, if you're lucky enough to have staff, great. If you're not, get some of your key leaders together and try to figure out who you're missing, and then go one rung down and ask those individual small group leaders or ministry areas and say, hey, who are the people or families that are still missing? And then give them a reach out. I mean, you know, there's nothing better to bring people to church for the first time than a personal invitation. Nothing
that's good.
Better. And I got to believe there's nothing better to bring back some people that are a little reluctant than a personal invitation from a part of the family that they belong to.
Yeah, that's so good. That's such a good place to stop. All right. Well, thanks again for listening through this mini series on building back better. If you have ideas or thoughts, suggestions as to different mini series that we can do, just submit that in at speakpipe.com/newchurches if you're on your mobile device, or you can go to newchurches.com and hit the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail if you're on your computer. All right. Thanks again for listening in, and we'll catch you next time.